The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you so much for joining us as always. We're happy you're here and we're happy to be here. Ooh, you like that?
Ooh, we're happy.
I changed it up a little bit.
You did. I'm so proud of you when you do that. I'm like, oh, it's so different. Because I get so bored saying the same thing over and over, as you all know. I know I always complain about this, but I do. And so I try to, I don't know, say it differently.
Yeah, you try to like move your voice around differently.
Yeah. What do you say? What is it you always say? You make me laugh every time.
You put the emphasis on a different syllable.
Yes.
I know that you get that, right?
I do, but the first time you said it, I was like, huh?
Wait, and what?
Yeah, what? Oh, it's so clever. You're so clever. You know, after all these years, you still make me laugh.
You are. I need to tell you that today, the PTO president that I am the vice president for the school year, texted me that she needs a picture of me for the slideshow at this big meeting this week. So she was like, just really quick, look through your phone, you know, any picture. Everybody's sending like phone shots because nobody has like an actual.
Selfies.
Yeah, send me a selfie. And I'm looking through like literally years of pictures on my phone. And every decent picture of me without like one of my kids' faces shoved up against mine or like my husband doing some cross-eyed bullshit next to me when I'm trying to take a good selfie of us, like every picture of me other than those, I'm either wearing sunglasses or I have an alcoholic beverage held up to my mouth. Like that picture I took with that giant bottle of vodka from Costco that you saw. Or I have headphones on because I've taken picture like decent selfies of myself that we've used on Instagram stories or whatever, like behind the mic or with my giant headphones on or the funny times I've had to wear like the Ninja Turtle headphones when I can't find mine. So I had to go back like 3 years to find one decent picture of myself. And that's only because I'm holding the cocktail far enough away that it can be cut out of the picture.
What so does you this seem say like about a respectable me? Mother.
Yeah.
That says, you know, that you have fun. You know,
that I'm a real person.
That you're a real person. Yeah. Uh-huh. I thought you were going to say, this is how self-centered I am right now. I thought you were going to say every other photo, whether it was my kids or my husband, every other photo where I look good is with you. Like I was in the photo.
Actually, that was the other thing was that some of the really good pictures are from the professional shoot you and I did together.
That's what I was. Why didn't you send them that?
Because, and this sounds terrible, but I didn't want the other PTO moms to feel bad that they were sending shitty selfies.
So hot.
And I'm sending one with like full makeup and hair with a professional photographer. So I had to, you know, walk the line of like looking like.
I mean, listen, that's why you're the vice president. Okay. You should have sent your headshots. You've had headshots taken for your acting stuff.
Yes, same. I didn't want it to be like, oh, look at this, the PTA board. Oh, look at that one bitch who sent in her like
that
actual
bitch
8x10.
She is so hot. And just because she looks better than all of us she must be a terrible mother.
I feel like that's like not the best way to start the year off with these ladies. So I found a good one that I could cut the cocktail out of.
Cocktail.
It's like, not too ostentatious, and I don't have like, you know, fake eyelashes on, and it's, but I still look good. You know, I'm not going to send like a shitty no makeup picture.
Of course.
Oh shit. Oh, but I did send her the vodka one. It's this like huge bottle of Kirkland brand vodka, right?
I know. I saw it because you were sharing your photos with me on Google Photos. You guys, that was, did we talk about that?
I don't think we did, but that you're was, lucky you didn't see like my husband's naked butt on those pictures.
I want to see his sexy pictures.
Or my own.
Like, they're so boring. I was like, oh my, no, the, honestly. Okay, so here's what happened. For the, you guys, if you want to hear this, this, of course you want to hear this. You're listening to us. So we have a shared Google photos album because when my husband creates show art, he posts it, you know, the three of us have a shared album. And for some reason, Christy was sharing
to me.
Her entire camera roll from her phone on our shared album. And so one day I was looking at it and I was like, oh, that's weird. Who's that person? Because I was looking for something for my own stuff. And I'm like, who are these fucking people? I don't know who these people are. And then I see like this shot of like a big box of bagel bites from Costco and like all this random, the kids, like your arm, a screenshot from your phone, like things you're trying to remember. And I'm like, oh my God, I think Christy's sharing all her photos. But I forgot, like I got off the phone really quick because I don't know what I was doing. And then I went about my day and I forgot to tell you for like a couple of weeks.
Don't lie. You went home and took screenshots of every single one of my pictures.
Every day I would look at Christy's iPhone photo rolls. And anyway, so I finally told you. But then I started freaking out thinking, oh my God, is she seeing my photos?
Ooh, because that would have been bad.
Yeah, it would have been bad.
That would have been actually like better than my boring role at Costco.
So I was thinking to myself, like, oh, what would she see? So, but you weren't. That's when I really.
Or was I?
I hope not. Well, anyway.
Anyway. Just
bring us that much closer. And, you know, you that much more familiar with my husband. So that's all I'm going to say.
Whoop, whoop. Okay. Very good. Any announcements or things you want to share with me?
I just want to say that I can't wait for October. I was actually talking to two different wedding professionals today, and we all said the same thing. How you doing? Are you okay? Are you making it? Is everything okay? You're in wedding season. I just can't wait for October.
Yeah, you got to check in. Make sure everyone's surviving.
Right. Make sure that we were able to swim and we didn't sink and we came out and we're all good and everybody's married and we're all still intact. So there you go. It's fine. It's fun.
I'm glad that you're still around and you've been, I was working on the newsletter today for patrons. It's almost done. And, our guests are in it cause I always do an upcoming episodes, but, I talked about how busy you've been and how these weddings that you're talking about have been back to back and let you never cease to amaze and inspire me with your, boundless energy. And I think aww. I might've said optimism. So you just know that I'm very, very impressed.
Oh, thank you. Oh, God, I really appreciate that. I just really wish I keep hinting, but seriously, can you just move here for the next 4 weeks? Just come here. Your family doesn't need you as much as I do.
Michelle, I think we just talked about how much the PTO needs me. So
whatever.
My answer is no.
Screw them. Sorry if anybody
is listening. They aren't. They literally know nothing about me except that I show up to meetings and, you know.
You're a closeted podcaster, clearly.
Yeah, and a closeted, in their eyes, probably crazy progressive liberal feminist. Mm. Yeah. Okay, they'll learn soon enough. I'll let them all in eventually, whether they like it or not.
Yeah. So that being said, we should probably jump in here to our episode here with Andrew and Roger Dodger. I love to say Roger Dodger. Sorry about that, Roger. Because they are just fantastic, and they're waiting so patiently.
Yes, you may have met them.
I think they might be
on another episode.
Too much tequila, though. On another episode. Yes, because they were at our meetup in Boston.
Yes, and that was episode 147. For those of you who are catching up on all the episodes, 147, there were some interview snippets with Roger and Andrew. These are lovely gentlemen, humans that I love so much and were former clients of mine. And the wedding was in Texas, and they live in Boston. the wedding was actually at a venue called Brick, and we have done an entire episode all about venue walkthroughs and like what to ask venues when you first check them out on premise. And that was episode 105. So it's like a giant, you guys are like part of our podcast family, even though this is the first time that we're having you on as official like guest. So
exclusive.
Welcome, dear friends.
Thank you guys for having us.
Excuse me. I apologize for that. Thank you.
Well, that's it. You ruined it. You ruined it. Forget it.
Cut. Did I just say it? It was so hard to stay quiet.
Yeah, I mean,
you guys are incredible. Like, I'm hearing about your husbands.
I think there was a mention of Chris,
like your
husbands.
Other guests that come on.
Butt pictures. I'm like, how do we get involved with this?
You guys, all of you listening, our listeners, we love you so much. Of course, if you want to see who we're talking to, there are several pictures of Andrew and Roger's wedding day on our Instagram page and a couple that you're tagged on, I think. But anyways, you'll see them there. One is in front of a gorgeous ivy wall and, you guys look great in all those pictures. So I always like to know who I'm listening to. I like look people up once they've been on podcasts. So I wanted to throw that out there in case anyone has Instagram close by and wants to see what you look like.
And that is at our best because you wouldn't want to see us right now.
Oh God, no. I'm wearing a Sunday Funday shirt. Oh,
yeah. Does it really say Sunday Funday?
It really does. It really does.
But you know it's Monday, yeah. Right?
He'll wear that on a Tuesday. He'll wear that on a Wednesday.
Wow, throw caution to the wind.
Yeah. Every day is Sunday
Today
Funday,
is
right?
Totally a Sunday Funday. We're having fun with you girls. Yes. Hello.
That's right. Every day is Sunday Funday. Damn it.
Yes.
So I jotted down some, usually we would ask you guys for like a blurb if you were a professional wedding vendor or whatever, like send us the little bio you want us to read. And I didn't do that, obviously, since I didn't want you to send some like little bio about yourselves. But I jotted down some thoughts myself about how we have stayed in such close contact since your wedding, which was several months ago now, and that we're friends like in real life is real. And that we've been going back and forth joking a little bit on text about like stuff that you've had to do or are in the middle of doing since your wedding day. And it was kind of an excuse to have you on the podcast was like, you know, we should talk to them about what happens after the wedding, like post wedding planning, when you don't have a wedding planner there anymore to like throw everything at or ask questions or get opinions or advice. But it's like, oh, now what? Like, what do we do with all these items? Or how do we even figure out like who to thank and what reviews to write and, you know, everything that you guys have been going through. So we went back and forth with a list. And now I think we have a pretty good like universal list of issues that people are likely to deal with some, if not all of once their weddings
are
over.
Definitely. I mean, is this something you're going to start doing, Christy? Because, I mean, we could really use that help.
You know what?
Post-wedding
planner. I'm trying to figure out the best way to charge for this. If it's just like, do you just want to talk to me for an hour and that will help you sort things out? You know, I'm down. You guys can be my trial couple on that.
I love it.
We'll
I love it. Well, full disclosure, though, as our wedding coordinator, you did your absolute best in guiding us in that. I mean, every step of the way, you told us, you know, everything that we should be thinking of course, for the wedding, but also post-wedding, you know, make sure that you have a team together and, you know, just making sure everything is in place during the planning. So it wasn't that you weren't paying attention to it.
Yeah, I didn't just... Yeah. Leave you high and dry, but you're talking about specifically like right in the hours after your wedding in terms of like venue strike and cleanup and having the ability as the grooms to just get in your getaway car and GTFO.
It was so hard.
And the way that you did that. That was hard, right? It was like logistically hard because we had to get everything out of there. Real quick, just to rewind before we go into what actually happened right after the wedding and then months after the wedding, just give everybody a quick like Cliff Notes version or, you know, quick rundown summary of your wedding planning process, being that it was a destination and, you know.
Definitely. All like, of it. So here we are, Texas transplants up in Boston, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're going to get married. We're like, well, when, where, and how is this?
Those were my questions, because this one decided to propose to me. So
I did. And it was great.
It was.
Wait, Andrew, you proposed to Roger?
I did propose to Roger, yes. Up in Bar Harbor, up in Maine.
Yeah.
In the dead of winter.
The dead of winter, ladies. No joke. February.
Well, were you like outside, literally? Like,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
No, yes. Like, it almost didn't happen. I fought the entire way.
So my plan was to propose to Roger at the top of Cadillac Mountain that's there in Maine. It's actually one of the first points that the sun rises on the continental U.S. during a certain amount of months. Well, I had got the ring, and I was going to wait till our anniversary in May, and I couldn't wait. So I was like, all right. So we planned something. Anyway, that all kind of went. We went to Bar Harbor. They had like 12 feet of snow the day before we got there. We couldn't get up to the mountain. Long story short, we ended up getting engaged in Bar Harbor, and it was beautiful. But then, yeah, like the
yeah,
next
then
step
I was like,
was,
how are we going to do this?
All right, we're going to get married. Sweet. Where are we going to do it? Of course, Texas. Mm-hmm. It's our homeland. It's where the majority of our friends and family still live. So it only made sense.
And where you met?
And where we met. Yeah, we met. Mm-hmm. We met Mrs. Barr's English class, 1996.
Yep.
Oh, where we met. Wait, like in high school?
Junior
middle school. Yeah.
Irma Marsh Middle School. Shout out to the Castleberry ISD, I guess. Yeah, we met there. I mean, of course, we weren't out, but we were really good friends. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then, you know, things happened. We can go into all that. I don't know if you guys want to know all the details. But yeah, that's where we first met was mm-hmm. we were like, 13 years old when we met each other?
Yeah.
12, 13 years old when we met each other for the first time.
He still has the yearbook, guys, that I wrote to him a whole page. I was like, oh my God, thank you so much for being my best friend. You know, all
here's
this
my
stuff.
Number.
Yeah, we were, and
oh my gosh,
we forgot
that,
it.
Yeah.
We were going to bring it to the wedding, and we totally forgot it. So, yeah, he still has the yearbook. I don't know where mine went. I mean, I moved all over the place every year. So I was, not that my family was a military, you know, family or anything. We just, they like to move. So I lost all of that, you know, growing up, but Andrew still kept it. So,
yeah.
So the question of where was answered easily.
Right.
Yes.
I mean,
it was the how and the how are we going to pay for it that was really tricky stuff.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then, you know, we decided on the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Roger's family is more, you know, coastal plains of Texas. Mine's more the quote unquote piney woods of Texas, the North Texas part.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
where we actually ended up creating a relationship was in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So that's where we decided
mm-hmm.
to take it.
Yeah.
It only made sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we perused through, you know, a bunch of venues, of course. And that in and of itself, being in Boston and then, you know, thinking of Texas was already hard. And I think this was around the time that we started reaching out to Christy.
Well, that's the next step. That was the next step. Everybody was like, listen, you guys are planning an out-of-state wedding. You really should look at a wedding planner, some type of consultant. We're like, all right, we got a budget. You know, we have a lot of things to think about. And I mean, I was like, all right. I'm like, first off, we're two men getting married in Texas. There might be a little bit of a hurdle there,
mm-hmm.
but we were like, all right, we reached out and I honestly, I think I Googled searched like same sex wedding planner, wedding coordinator of some sort. And I saw Christy and I was like, man, she looks really familiar. I was like, I was like,
this is
I
so
know,
weird.
I was like reading her bio and I was like, holy, you know, expletive. I was like, I think I know this woman.
Can we curse?
You can.
Okay.
I was like, holy shit, I think I know this woman.
No.
We went to high school together.
We did.
Went to high school together?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We were in theater together. We actually were in a play together in high school.
Yep, and then he was in a play or two or three with my brother after I graduated also.
So I was like, okay. I was like, there's like a little, like, something it's needs to happen here. Yeah,
it's a sign.
It's a sign.
Yeah.
And so I reached out to Christy, right, and I was like, thank God we did.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like,
Yeah, because Andrew's very, he's got such a good organic soul, is what I like to call it, organic soul. So I'm very much like, I need, what?
Does that mean I'm smelly?
I mean, we're not going to get into that. That's like, that's after these questions, right? Like, later on, we're talking about, like, how's married life? He's smelly.
I always keep matches in the bathroom.
Personal hygiene is really declining.
As soon as we took those vows, both of us like, yep, there goes our diets.
Oh,
babe.
All right.
Let's let that go now.
But I need structure and organization, and I know Christy's probably shaking her head right now, like, yep. I don't know how many times I told Christy that when we first started talking, like, Andrew is this way, but I'm steering the boat a little bit just because Andrew's job, he's a flight attendant, he's, you know, gone a lot, so I was home base, and I was trying to do a lot of the communication with Christy because Andrew was just in the air. He just couldn't do it, right? So my communication with Christy was a little bit different than Andrew and Christy. But Christy, man, she gave me everything that I needed and then more. So, you know, she really honed in on that structure that I needed in digestible chunks, too. I let her know, like, I can only think of so many things in, like, a certain amount of time. So,
yeah. Sometimes you would be thinking about the, like, wrong thing, the thing that was out of order sometimes. Like, I would get a big email or text that was like, oh my gosh, we're thinking about this. What do you think? When do we need to make this decision? And it would be something that in the big timeline of wedding planning would actually be like, you know what? Let's shelve that and don't even think about that again until 3 months from now, once we have the catering, bar, and photographer all figured out. And then we can decide what your final dance song is going to be and at what point we're going to cue it.
You know, yes. Yeah, that was,
that
you needed to that was be, great. Yeah, and that both of you individually, and then we had a good like group thread going. And this is pretty common with when we work with clients. It's a couple, or sometimes it's a couple and maybe a mom or two. But there's one person that is more in contact, or is the one person that we're waiting for a final decision from. And that's actually in our contract for both Michelle and I, is that we need one point of contact, because imagine if we had two partners both emailing us different things.
And run it by four people.
And that was, I think that speaks a lot to relationships in general too with couples, right? So, you know, me and Andrew had that discussion too. Again, going back to me being so OCD and controlling, I was like, Andrew, like, I don't want too many chiefs, you know, there. I don't want any chefs in the kitchen. So let's just, you know, I will be the voice for the most part for us since I'm stationary. But when we do communicate together with Christy, we'll absolutely, you know, be as one voice. But I definitely took that reign. But that was a discussion. I mean, it had to be a discussion. We didn't want to step on each other's toes either, you know.
And on top of that, you knew which dates you were going to be in Texas. So things were planned out. And then those Texas visits, there was like meetings that were planned. If you needed to pull the trigger on something, it was like, we're going to make that decision this weekend when we're there, or here's a whole list of questions that we must ask the venue manager while we're there in person. So an element of destination weddings is that you have to be even more organized with your time because those visits to the place where the wedding is going to be are few and far between. You can't just like go check out your venue parking lot situation every weekend when you're home because you just want to make sure that the construction's done or whatever.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right.
I mean, I think I even planned layovers. Being as a flight attendant, I could, you know, bid trips to a certain extent. And I bid a lot of layovers so I could go and like scout out some stuff, you know? So I was like,
do some tasting.
Yeah, like, I was like, we gotta like work this out.
The tastings were definitely a joint. That was the first thing we got out of the way, because cake is the
Roger's Super Bowl. He called it. So
yeah,
I was like, all right,
So we did that together.
We had to get the cherry pies.
Yeah, so I think there was a lot of communication and organization as far as, to your point, Christy, is it just keeping it together as a couple, keeping it together for you so that you didn't feel scattered between the two of us, and then just organizing between the two of us, knowing that Andrew was going to be able to lay over in Texas while he was working, and he was able to communicate with his family who helped out too. So I think it was actually your stepmom that found Brick for us. Well, we had seen a lot of places, and then
we were looking for an industrial, we're not barn people. And there's a lot of barn farmhouse stuff going on in Texas. Yeah, and
plantations,
and all, which are all
gorgeous.
Great.
Yeah,
but yeah, like I had my stepmom and my dad. You know, they were in the area, and they had the time to go and like, hey, like we were like, we found this really cool venue. Do you guys have a chance to go check it out? And they were able to. And so that, I mean,
yeah,
that family.
But we definitely did our research. We looked up all the venues that we were very interested in. We went to go see most of them in person. There was one or two that we couldn't. Brick was one of them, actually. And then when his stepmom was like, this is it, when I walked in.
We actually did a FaceTime.
Yeah,
we did a
FaceTime
with my stepmom,
Lindsay,
during her tour of Brick, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. I think that was so, like, we're in our home in Boston, and we're in Fort Worth at the same time. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Yep. And then we planned a trip to go and visit in person to really get a feel of the space, and we just fell in love. Yeah.
Fast forwarding to the wedding weekend itself, so, it was a Friday wedding, so it felt more like a wedding weekend. Mm-hmm. The day itself, we'll get to the end of the day because that's a lot of what the post-wedding planning stuff is. But what about the wedding weekend surprised you, or how did the day run? You know, what did you want it to look and feel like? And then what did it? Did it meet that expectation?
I think for the most part, it did. I think for me personally, I don't know about Andrew, but for me, my actual... My wedding party is about to hate me. Just like,
uh-oh.
Well, I love that. It was just communication for me. I wanted to make sure that I was on point for Christy and the wedding itself. And so knowing how to manage communication and not get sidetracked was a huge focal point for me on the day of. And I would start, like, my stepmom would start pulling me aside. My parents, I hadn't seen them in a couple of years because I've been living in Boston and I haven't had the time, you know, to go and visit them. And so we're trying to connect and connecting with our wedding party. And so,
which was large.
Yes, it was 9 total, I think. Yeah. So we want to give them that time. Right. But it's the day of, and we have a
so
lot.
You're saying you were fielding too many questions. Too much was happening. People calling you, mm-hmm. getting pulled. Yeah. And that's the kind of things that we try to mitigate, but some, you know, you have your cell phone. We can't take it away from you.
Right.
I mean, I could try, but
yeah.
And I do, you know what, you guys, I never told you this, but one thing that surprised me, because it's a destination wedding. So I know that it's going to be a little different than other weddings if we're all in the same place. But usually by a wedding day, I'm pretty aware through doing the ceremony layout and like talking to the couple themselves, mm-hmm. I'm pretty aware of like family stuff and family dynamics, mm-hmm. at least to know like there's divorces and steps and halves and all of that. And I don't know, I think with both of your families, and I realized it at the rehearsal when I was like, oh my God, I'm having a really hard time keeping track of everybody because there was a lot of family that wasn't obvious. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, that's my aunt who's sort of like my mom, and that's my uncle who's not like my dad. But then there's this sibling who's in the wedding party, but then there's this sibling who is, you know, pointedly not in the wedding party. And there's
this is all Roger's doing.
That's my stepbrother. That's my, you know, my nephew whose cousin who's almost my brother. Like, there was a lot. And I thought, wow, you guys, I totally understand what you're saying about feeling pulled in different directions, because you both have, and I don't mean this to be the wrong way to say it, but you both have complicated family structures, if that makes sense.
No, totally makes sense.
Very good way of putting
it. Very good way of saying that we're like...
Yeah, so total, we have, I guess, technically 4 families, right?
Yeah.
So it's our our biological mom and dad. Well, and in my case, my aunt took the place of my mother and my uncle, right? So that's what, to Chrissy's point.
Yeah, Roger screwed it all up.
But so I had my father, my stepmother, my aunt, and my uncle. Those represented the mother and father figures in my family, in my life.
And slew of half and step siblings.
Yes, yeah.
All step siblings. Well. Yep, or yeah. And then Andrew had his mom and dad, but they have all remarried as well. And so there's four families. And so that's just us dealing with, like, that's normal. Like, try planning Thanksgiving and Christmas every year with four families, and they're all spread across Texas and Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so we were trying to... Wow. Do the best that we could to communicate that to Chrissy, because I know it's not always normal to have that, but these people were so significant in raising us. You know, they had such a huge part in crafting who we are today, you know?
And also, so. You know, even from the point that when we came out, was, you know, challenging for some, mm-hmm. and to see that all come together. I mean, my mother, I love my mother. Me and my mother are very close. I always say my family loves Roger more than they love me. But to have, there was a lot of struggles in the past, but to see that all come together on that day of, mm-hmm. I mean, my mother walked me down the aisle, mm-hmm. and gave me away to the man of my dreams. And so I'm like, here I am, like in front of my family, both of our families together. And then, mm-hmm. and everything coming together. I mean, ultimately, I mean, the day of was, to say the least, hectic, and we were pulled in many different directions, but at the end of the day, it was...
Having Chrissy there was essential. Yeah. Like,
I can't even imagine if Chrissy wasn't there.
No, I can't either. Absolutely.
We probably would have been yelling at everyone.
I distinctly remember both of you starting your walk down the aisle, because Michelle, for this wedding, they were both walked in at the end of the processional, like one right after another, with their moms.
Okay.
Rather than
you didn't
one
change the song for their entrance?
For their entrance, but not individually.
No.
Okay.
It was it was actually just one big it was the same
she
song,
the
but
lyrics,
we
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So she looped Kelly, who was our
shout
DJ
out
Kelly.
To DJ
She's
Kelly.
Amazing. She for our parents, she just kept an instrumental, and she looped the instrumental part of the song and then kicked in the lyrics
from
the wedding.
That's a good idea.
And so they saw each other beforehand, and we took photos beforehand, and you guys had a lot of fun beforehand, but it was still,
we did the first
time. I remember, and I think I'll always remember, especially being in the, you know, doing what I do for a living, the moments all start to kind of blend in, and you know, we think, oh, that what was that wedding I did when this thing happened? But in your case, I'll remember both of you locking eyes with me one after another before you started your walk down the aisle, and
crying again,
yes, like aww. Barely holding it together. Andrew held it together a little bit better. Roger, yep. When I had Kleenex, and you kept saying like, You were saying like, no, don't give me the Kleenex. So I took one Kleenex and like stuffed it in your pocket right before you, like, it was
flat. I don't even remember that.
Yeah, it was very, and it was just overwhelmed. You were both overwhelmed in that moment. And that probably had something to do with the fact that the whole day felt like it was going by really fast. And there was, you know, so many things that you were juggling.
Yeah.
And also, hearing you both talk about your families and how important it was for you that they were there, even if it was a little bit complicated, I think a lot of people feel that way. And it just occurred to me, like, we always say that a wedding is the one time in your life that the whole room full of people there is there to celebrate you, and that love you. They all, what they have in common is that they love you. Mm-hmm. But for couples who come from divorced families, that aren't always the, you know, we don't know if they're the most amicable and like they all get along or not. It might also be the, you know, the one time that not just your two families are in the room, but your family is in the same room together.
Right.
You know?
No, it was.
It's a big deal.
It was a huge deal. And we said that from the very beginning. I was like, this will be the only, you know, the one day that our whole families will be together.
Yep,
under and the same roof.
They let everything go,
and they let everything go, and our and you know,
in a good, way.
In a very good
it
way.
It was amazing. It was amazing, and you know, as, you know, going back to the fact that you know Roger, you know, is a, I was trying to hold it together. Roger had some tears coming down the aisles, and so one of the things I gave my mother on the day of our wedding was a handkerchief that was my grandfather's, her father's. And me and my grandfather were very close. And I didn't realize it until after the wedding. My mom had, as Roger's coming down the aisle, she handed him a handkerchief. That was my grandfather's handkerchief that she handed to Roger.
I was blubbering. It was bad. It was really bad. Like, I look like I, like, everyone was like, is he happy?
No.
Like, for real? Like, it's that bad.
You guys did great. You did great.
It was very emotional. But yeah, when your mama gave me that handkerchief, oh, it was the cherry on the on the top there. I just
We have a whole story about the cherry pies if you want to hear about that too. But
no
time.
We're talking
that.
About post-wedding.
Yes, post-wedding. I'm sorry. Getting off track.
Yeah, okay. So I guess in order to talk about the end of the wedding, you first have to tell us everything that you brought from Boston.
Oh, God.
Including your cat.
Yes. You brought your cat?
Oh, yes.
Brought our cat.
Marie.
Not to the actual wedding. I didn't get to meet her.
No. We brought Marie. Her name is Marie. We've nicknamed her Lady Marie of Cambridge. We live in Cambridge, Mass., which is just
right over the Charles.
Yeah, right over the Charles from Boston. And it's only, 10 minutes from... You can see... Boston and Cambridge, so it's very, very close, right?
Yes, I know. And water.
Yes, exactly. Water, yeah. See, Michelle, you got to come back.
I know. I will. I'll be there in September, I think. So
yes,
you
please,
ask.
Please do.
So yeah, we brought a lot of things. We flew.
You flew.
We flew with the cat. I flew with the cat. Roger refused.
And then you had all the items sent?
Well, so throughout luckily my stepmother, my mom, like other people, part of the family, were collecting things throughout the year. We knew we wanted to do a lot of the old brass candlesticks, things like that.
Let's just tell everyone how many candlesticks you had.
It was like 200?
Over.
Christy knows.
It was.
Do you know? Yeah.
It was well over 200, including the
Vintage. Those photos, I was like, oh, damn, that looks freaking awesome.
Hard
well,
to set up.
Yeah, I'm sure. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you, Christy.
Did you set those up?
The candles and, putting the candlesticks in all of those holders. And there was it was like 300 tapers that we had a box of like 300 tapers that all needed to come out of wrapping and stuff. So I had an assistant and then we were putting them on tables and then the catering staff was helping to put them on the guest, it was set up in stations, which is, I think, the only way you can do something like that. And then we had to be really deliberate about what time we lit the candles so that they weren't waxing all over. Yeah.
I will say when things are individually wrapped like that, those of you listening, because I also had that with the wedding I did a couple weeks ago. She ordered a lot of flip-flops for everybody from Old Navy. Every single flip-flop was individually wrapped. Well, the pairs were individually wrapped. And when you're at a venue, oftentimes it's the responsibility of the caterer to take the garbage off site. And oftentimes the caterer will be like, okay, I'll take my garbage off site, but I'm not taking your crap.
Yeah.
So
things
if
like
you
can
unwrap
have a ton of trash
before,
too.
Yeah. Unwrap things before you give it to your planner and throw it away, you know,
dude,
in your garbage. Just a little tip. Thank you very much.
And you guys were transporting all of these the actual candle holders, and those were wrapped in paper, a lot of them, to keep that, right? To keep them from breaking.
Yeah.
So,
or scratching.
Yeah, because
there were
some that were glass that we ended up, we came down another trip to Texas to do a project with some of these candle holders that were glass and spray painted them to look brass. So, yeah, some were glass, some were brass. You couldn't tell.
Some were wood.
Yeah, some were wood. Yep, absolutely.
How pretty.
Yeah, but we didn't know. Christy, I'm
Wait,
so sorry.
The individual tapers?
No.
Wrapped?
Yeah, the individual tapers were wrapped.
I did not know this.
Oh, those are really hard to unwrap.
Dude.
The glass ones.
Yeah.
The point is, you had let's say, just getting from your parents' house to the venue, there were two vans filled with these candles, some signage that you had worked really hard on, some large mirrors that you had done vinyl on. So
rugs.
They had a lot of items, including two fairly large rugs.
Yes. So what we ended up doing with a lot of this is we obviously couldn't, there's no way we could focus on taking all of this down with us. So we tried our best to make it as easy as possible to get the things there for the wedding, because in our mind, the most important thing is the wedding, right? So, so we did a lot of ordering online and having them delivered to our family, particularly Andrew's dad and mom's house. Thank you for fostering everything, and they're still fostering.
Yes, my dad and stepmom still have a whole room full of objects that I was like, okay, well, what I'll do is I will strategically try to get Dallas layovers and slowly take things back up.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. So, but so pre-wedding day, that's what we were doing. We were doing a lot of
I was bringing stuff down on Dallas layovers. I would bring like some old books, pictures, things that we needed, we know we would need that we were coming from Boston. I would.
And you also did BYOB.
Yes.
So there were there was a lot of booze that needed to be loaded in too.
Yeah.
And all this said, just to give people an idea of what was in the venue when the clock struck midnight, or, you know, 11, so to speak, when we needed to get out, leave and get all of that stuff with us. Mm-hmm. So you did the getaway and you got in the car and left, which is what we wanted to happen. And then all of those items, we had a limited amount of time to get everything out. And so you had a whole crew, including your parents and Andrew, many of your lovely flight attendant girlfriends who were all gorgeous and smiley and happy and a little drunk. And they all helped like get items off of tables and just put them into boxes that I had. And, you know, weirdly enough, the booze, every time I would come out of the kitchen with like a box of booze, somebody would offer to take it for me. Like, oh, I'll do that. Let me help you. I'll get that one. Everything else, I pretty much walked out to cars myself, and Andrew and their moms helped a lot too. And by this time it was pouring rain, like pouring deluge, like ridiculous. We were all soaked getting these things into cars, but the whole, I knew we were putting them in there the best we could. But I couldn't help but think, like, oh my God, when Andrew and Roger see all of this tomorrow or the next day or whatever, it's going to just be like, holy shit, this is a lot of crap we have to go through and organize.
Well, no, it was actually very organized for us. We just needed to figure out who touched what. That was our thing. But that's where the post-wedding planning comes into place, right? So we had the team in place. And then that was it. We didn't really...
For the night
of. And that was very clearly communicated to us by Christy. She made sure that all of that was in place. But we did not think about, okay, so what happens after all this stuff comes back to our family's places? I mean, not everyone was staying in the same house. We have four families. Right. And so...
This is interesting, though, because, like, what... For anybody listening right now, especially those having a destination wedding, what would be some post planning? Like, what could you have done to kind of make it more streamlined and organized for you post wedding?
Well,
I think delegating specific people to hold specific things would have been better. I mean, we had family. We knew it was going to end up in family's hands, but we should have been more strategic in saying, okay, all of, you know, A, B, and C need to go with dad and stepmom. You know, D, E, F need to go this way.
Right. The cake baker, all of her platters need to go with this person so that she can return it the next day. Right. Things like more specific breakdown of items.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and we, you know, and I'm sure this is for everyone out there that is planning a wedding now and in the middle of the thick, all you are thinking of is the day of, because that is vital, right? But everything that comes after, y'all, if you don't, listen, if you don't plan it, it freaking sucks.
It's like, gonna take over your life. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it has. Yeah. And this is why I really wanted to connect with you guys and talk about it, because it's real life. We're still dealing with it. Mm-hmm. We're still trying to figure it out. And it's not that no one told us. It's just that, you know, oh, we'll figure that out later. That's after the wedding. That's after the wedding.
You have so much going on, mm-hmm. you know, leading up to it, like you said.
Yeah.
There's so much going on leading up to it.
You can't possibly
think of everything afterwards.
No.
Yeah. Until you do it.
So the big part of the plan being that you will get these items to somebody's house and then slowly smuggle them back up to Boston.
Pretty much.
Listen, I've smuggled a whole brisket from Texas, so I can smuggle some candlesticks.
So is that slowly happening? Just as according to plan, it's just slower than you thought, or
slower than I thought. You know, I'm having to work a lot. You know, summertime.
Are you guys
flying.
Keeping all of those candlesticks? What are you going to do?
I think a lot of people took some, which is we wanted that to happen. My stepmom. You know, she
took like her favorites.
We kind of like sifted through some things.
Right.
But for the most part, we were keeping a lot of those. We also have like the suitcases we use for our postcards to put into.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
things like the mirrors that we had the decals put on.
What about the rugs?
Right.
So that's all we're like, put that in my roller bag and bring it on board.
This is what happened. So most people want to decompress after the wedding day, right? And that's what we were
have a honeymoon
or hanging with family for another week, just mm-hmm. basking in the happiness and
mm-hmm.
doing nothing but tra-la-las and fa-la-las and, you know, having fun, right? No. Mm-mm. I mean, we had maybe half a day or two
in Texas.
So we planned 2 weeks off to do the wedding. So a week prior to the wedding so we could plan everything, and then a week after so that we could hang with family. We thought, oh, we can manage most of the post-wedding things probably, you know, within a day or so. No, it literally took us most of the time that we spent after the wedding in Texas to really sit with family, sort through things, you know, make sure everyone gets what they needed, what we needed. And then sort it so that when Andrew does go back to Texas or when I go back to Texas, we know, okay, this area, this chunk that we've now segregated needs to come back with us. So it was more of that. That was when the organization started coming into play, when you really didn't want to do it. All you want to do is hang out with family and friends, mm-hmm. right? In a destination wedding, because you don't get to see them. That was our time. That was our time
right.
with them. And we spent it trying to figure out logistics on getting all this stuff organized and back to Boston. So
right.
Yeah. So it's been a big.
That's a lot.
It is. It's a lot. And I, you know, again, it's just this is why we're talking about it, because I don't think anyone converses about the logistics of how all of this is going to play out afterwards, especially with the destination wedding.
Well, and on top of that, you know, we have our, you know, thank you cards to write. We have reviews to make. We have
connecting with vendors to make sure everything was okay for them. Everything right. was okay for us.
And in the meantime, we're getting back into our work modes. We're yep. starting to have to work a lot more.
Right.
You know, so it's all
paying off the debt.
Paying off debt.
Credit cards.
Oh, geez, don't even get me started.
Yeah, and which is all the list of stuff we have yeah. jotted down. But one thing I'm hearing, and I think it might be good to suggest, is that people plan a few days mm-hmm. off after the wedding that are kind of left open. Don't put expectations that those few days after the wedding are going to be just times with your, you know, kicking back and hanging out with each other and your family and maybe doing nothing else. But if you had a lot of logistics to figure out for your wedding, give yourself a couple days to untwist mm-hmm. those logistics before you leave the country for a honeymoon, or B, jump right back into a work schedule.
Right, right.
Because a lot of people take a week off before their wedding. And Michelle and I are big proponents of having at least a few days before your wedding, because things start to get really cuckoo there at the end of wedding planning. But we'd be remiss if we said it's not also a good idea if you can, and we understand this is not something everyone can afford or can do, but to have a few days afterwards that you leave open to, like, the whole to-do list is just do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And do it in a way that doesn't feel like super rushed and like you're screaming at each other, this is supposed to be fun. You know?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Oh my God, that sounds like a call. What? This is supposed to be fun.
Why aren't we having fun? Welcome to marriage. Hey, did you guys return any booze to the store that you bought it from? We talk about that.
Yeah.
Tell us how that went down.
I don't know if we are able to drop names and stuff. We had a great, I think our experience with that was great because.
The liquor store? You should say it.
Total Wine.
Yeah.
Yes. We went through Total great. Wine and hey, if anybody has a venue that is open vendors that you can bring in your own stuff, I highly suggest going through something like this because what you could do is you can buy your beer, wine, liquor, whatever you're using. And as long as it's not, you know, unsealed or it has been refrigerated, you can return it and they buy it back from you. And we were able to do that.
You got to do the research before. Yeah, that's what we did.
We did.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we did that and it was great. We did it. We returned a lot.
Yeah.
We gave away some.
Some was stolen.
Yeah, some was taken, and then like I was like, "Wait a minute, that's a whole case of wine." Like, and they're like, "But we stayed to clean up."
Somebody took a giant thing of tequila, and it wasn't you guys, even though you did take one, which is like the best picture of the night. But...
I was like, "I'm taking a damn bottle of tequila with us," and that traveled with us.
They still have a bottle in your daddy's.
Yeah, I think we left to the rest of my dad's. Yeah, I mean, that was a huge bottle of tequila. We took it to some place that we went to. But yeah, I mean, it was a traveling bottle of tequila. But no, I mean, that saved us money.
That saved us a lot. Headache. Like, almost half.
Yeah.
Honestly. No. So
we overbought, but.
But we are.
Not like crazy, though.
No.
No, but like still, like, we're, you know, we come from very big families, and that's, I've always been taught it's better to have too much than too little, and so that was the error that I was always, you know, discuss, and that was actually something me and Andrew always had to really communicate very clearly on, because he was actually a little bit more conservative, I think, with some of it, and I was like, I'd rather there be too much and we can return it than not have
and enough. I'm like, when we run out,
right? Yeah. So that
we
was
didn't
a communication
run out.
thing, and I won. but yeah, so just doing the research pre-wedding to make sure that you can return those things is extremely
that was great.
Beneficial, yeah, and then you can save some money there. But that's the other thing, too, with the destination wedding. Some couples, I'm sure, might be – they have maybe a bigger team in place. They don't have to worry about it. They're not doing DIY. We did a lot of DIY. Mm-hmm. Not all, but some of the things that we could afford ourselves, we did. And so those are the logistical things that we're dealing with now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all the stuff that you have to figure out after. Because all the things that are rented, all the things that are brought in by professionals, that's all going to be taken care of afterward. It's all the little things that you buy, or maybe you're trying to save money by doing yourself, or, you know, that you're like, ah, oh, okay, somebody has to put that out, and then somebody has to collect
it. Do I even want to keep it?
Bring it to me, and do I want that after the wedding? Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So definitely creating that plan.
Please, definitely.
You all listening is super important.
And we've talked about an items list before. Where we tell we've told everyone you need to have an inventory list for your planner along with the boxes that you give her. But part of that is, what is the item? Where do you want it on the wedding day? Who is bringing it? And the other part is, where does it go at strike?
Yeah.
And for me, all I care about is whose car I put it in or whose hotel room. But for you planning your weddings, that line item should be pretty detailed. Like, it's going to go home in Aunt Mary's car, and then we're picking it up on Tuesday, and then we're, you know, going to sell it or trash it after we take some pictures, you know, whatever it is that you're going to do with it. Think about those things for every item on your inventory list, because some things are super important to you, like keeping your veil or whatever, but other things might be not important to you at all. and it's just easier to get those off of your plate.
Luckily, we had Roger's maid of honor, her mom, our glasses that we were drinking out of at our wedding. We specially got those, our antique glasses that we were going to use. We're going to use those every year on our anniversary. And thank God, like, we didn't even think about telling somebody to grab those glasses. And thank God she did, because she saw they were different from all the other ones. And she brought us to them, brought them to us the next day. And we were like,
right,
oh my God, we didn't even think about telling somebody to grab those.
I bet Christy was thinking say,
they were on my list. And I asked someone and some, like, they're on my list because I had them to at the front end. Yes. So I wanted to know at the back end where they were.
Yeah.
And somebody pointed whoever took them, the woman that took them out, and said, she just wrapped them up. She has them.
Okay.
So, you know, things like that, this is one of the benefits to having a wedding planner, is that this list is in hand so that you as a couple are not thinking about all of it.
Right.
But, you know, of course you don't want anything to be broken or lost, especially the meaningful stuff.
Right.
And I have one of my couples for next weekend is kind of the opposite of you guys. They live here in San Francisco, but the majority of their guests are coming from out of town. Mm-hmm. And those that live in San Francisco, they don't even have cars. So their thing is, and after the wedding, like, it's at a restaurant, so we have to pull everything out. And so we were talking about this last Friday. Oh. Okay, so how are we going to, because they're going to do an after party somewhere else. So they can't hang around for an hour while we pack everything
up. And she doesn't want to have a backpack at that after party filled with a bunch of shit.
No, they're going to a hotel. So it's like, oh my God, you know, who's going to take this stuff to my apartment, and who has a car, and they're going to have to, so it was like figuring out those logistics.
Yeah, that is hard, especially in San Francisco. I mean,
I mean, we deal with that here in Boston too. And we were kind of dealing with that in Dallas too. I mean, we rented a car, but that was our getaway car. We even got back to our Airbnb and we literally called Andrew's mom.
Yeah, I was like, should we come back?
Do we need to come back?
Do we need to come back?
You were like, do we need to come back? Also, bring us food.
My mom was like, no, don't worry about it. And I was like, oh, by the way, would you mind bringing us some brisket that's left over? I was gonna like, I'm gonna cook us some eggs and brisket in the morning.
That never happened.
We ate it that night.
Barbecue. I will say barbecue kind of catering like that is the best leftovers, because you can eat that. Yes. You can eat those ribs cold. You can put that brisket the next day. It's almost better. Yes, definitely.
I had a whole like sheet pan of sorts of potato salad and rolls
sausage
that I brought with us to our friend's house like that Sunday. I was like, hey.
Yeah, we were eating off of it all weekend.
One thing. Yeah, we should mention that. Your leftovers or leftover cake or leftover booze, if you can't return it, a lot of times people bring that to their brunch the next day or to their sort of unofficial after party if you're at a hotel and you're going to be hungry or things like that.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, order to-go containers on Amazon, y'all. Mm-hmm. That's what I did for last weekend's wedding. They just ordered a whole bunch, and we had so much food, and they were just like boxing it up, and people were taking it and loving it. Even if you're from out of town, you're going to go back to your hotel room drunk.
Oh,
you're going to get some leftovers.
That's for sure. And our caterer was really good about packing it up in to-go containers, with a little larger than individual containers, but they definitely helped us out with that. So we brought it back to the family so that everyone could eat off of it for a while. Yeah, but still, knowing where that food went. Like, who took the food?
I'm like, did we have that much creamed corn left over?
Right. Like, we only got brisket and potato salad. Where the heck did the rest of
where did
this
go? Grilled veggies or the garden salad?
To Chrissy's point, making sure that you are detailed in that post-wedding list is so tremendous. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to make the list. It's another to make sure that it literally, you know exactly where everything is going.
That it can be executed,
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and if we would have been proper grooms, we would have given Christy a good list. And now, like, as we're talking about it, like,
know,
man,
like,
we really
like
fell
the
short.
Worst
grooms ever. No, you didn't. I would not have let that happen. But let's jump to now. The night is over. The wedding night is over, and we're out. Like, we're a couple days or a couple weeks out. in terms of like paperwork or stuff that you still felt like was on your pending to-do list, I'm going to rattle off like marriage license, which you completed beforehand, name changes, Andrew, you changed your last name. Also, thank you notes and any tips or final payments that were done post-wedding that you didn't do on the day of. What of those things felt like it was
my first thing is thank you notes.
Yeah.
I was like, we've got to get those out. People sent us gifts. Even just being at our wedding, I was like, we have to get these thank you notes out. Yeah. And like, I was like hounding Roger. I was like, I was on my days off. I was...
That's when Andrew stepped up really hard and took the reins on that
just
one.
Then.
I was completely burnt out, and I said, my hands are up. I'm done. I can't. I had
to get those thank you notes out, man. That's so important. It's like to recognize these people that have come and spent their time with us, spent money giving us beautiful gifts for our home.
Taking the time to be there on that day, coming across country.
So that was mine. Second was...
Reviews.
You know, the name change and reviews.
That too. Yeah.
You know, I'm still in the process. I have to do some things with my job. I have to get, I have to get my passport changed, which takes a little bit of time, things like that. But then, the
name. Well,
the reviews.
So we both did our name change.
Yeah.
But that, the first part of it, as far as the marriage certificate went, was easy. Just because Christy definitely recommended us try to handle that before the wedding, so
I'm
we
glad,
don't have to worry about all that. And it also helped with our officiant. So we weren't trying to line up, our officiant and the license and all this. I know that's a thing. The way that we did it was so easy.
Thank you, Christy, because that...
Yeah.
Being
that
you were officially married before the wedding day.
We did the whole legal thing up here in Boston, and we were able to then choose officiant of our choice. It didn't have to be a licensed officiant.
Yeah, so we didn't have to worry about that.
Our really good friend, well, he's practically my brother. He was able to officiate us, which was an amazing, just to have him there. And,
So we didn't have to worry about the marriage certificate or license or any of that post wedding, because Christy definitely guided us on that and said, you guys definitely should take care of that beforehand. So you don't have to worry about that, especially in the type of ceremony that we wanted. It's two men coming together. It's different. And we wanted to be able to do, something creative and have the closest people to us do that for us. And this was the easiest route for us.
And also not to talk down with, Southern states and things like that. But, we live in Massachusetts, which, and especially in Cambridge, is a pretty liberal, open-minded.
You wanted to make sure you didn't get some rogue
registry
lady who was just going to be like, I'm not signing it.
Exactly.
Right.
And
right.
then we have to go to another courthouse in Texas and try to,
Yeah, we didn't have to deal with any of that. Everyone up here was very accepting. It was very quick. It was very easy. It was
very
really
sweet.
Easy. Very sweet.
We got married. We had a little legal ceremony with a couple of close friends up here in Boston in this old, one of the oldest courthouses in
Cambridge,
Massachusetts. It's beautiful.
8 o'clock in the morning. Sure.
Yeah. They went to brunch afterwards, so that was cool. But my daunting thing was thank you notes, reviews, and then.
And then the name changes. We both decided to take each other's last names, but they're not hyphenated. Andrew wants to make that very clear. So
so pretentious. Like, I don't want to hyphenate.
Yeah, and that way people don't have to think about, whoa, what last name do we need to use? So the last name is Jones, but we both took Jackman and Jones because we both wanted to honor each other.
Jackman's part of our middle names now because it came alphabetically.
Yeah, we did deal with that. So the first thing that we had to do, and this is post-wedding, we went to change our social security.
Mm-hmm.
That was the very first thing that we did because no one can argue with that. And then from there, I went to get a new driver's license because my Texas one was expiring and I was holding on to that for dear life.
He was not about to give up that Texas citizenship.
Nope, I was not. So I had to switch over to Massachusetts. So here we are.
I know they take it from you in Massachusetts,
they
right?
Do.
Oh, yeah.
They confiscate it.
They took
did.
It.
It made me so sad when they took my Cali license. I'm like, hey!
Yeah.
She tricked me too. She's like, can I see it? She totally tricked me. She's like, can I see it? I'm like, sure. And she's like, all right. And she's put it, she's like, I'm going to have to keep this. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, they took it from me.
You can't go around with two licenses. And then
her, yeah. Don't you even try to vote in your home state, little Missy.
Right. My mom was like, your grandfather's rolling over in his grave, giving up your Texas citizenship. And I'm like, she's like, moving up with them Yankees. I'm like, gosh. Well, mom, you're, I'm.
Mom, the Union won.
Right? Exactly.
No, she was
just joking with me about that.
No, so hey, uh-huh.
Yeah, sorry.
I wanted to ask you guys about, we have to like run down this list really quick. So yeah. We are going to include the list, our to-do list of items that you might want to think about after your wedding, or we'll include it all in the show notes. But because this is a big issue for a lot of people, and it was for you two, mm-hmm. talk to me about money as much as you want to share. I know you had to put some things on credit cards and you were really good about like paying as much as you could at way, way ahead of time. So you didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah. I think for the most part, we paid pretty much everything out of pocket. As our paychecks could allow it, that we paid it off because we didn't want to have a whole lot of debt after the wedding. We still have debt, but I think we did really good on managing our money during the wedding process so that post-wedding we didn't have to worry about too much debt.
Bury your head in the sand on this one. You were conscious of it.
No, yes. we had to be. Had to be conscious and...
Yeah, and you know, we set a budget because that is what our wedding planner told us to do.
She's so smart and pretty too.
Yes, she is. And we tried our best to follow it, but I'll be honest, like there were some times where we couldn't. And so it was like, well,
and we did have to cut back on some stuff. We did there were some stuff at the end we were like, we can't afford it.
I wanted a mariachi group. We couldn't afford it.
And we were like, what's the bigger picture? Would you rather have mariachi? Would you rather have like a photo booth where people could, that would be like a parting gift for people to take with them.
Which is what we did. We told the photo booth, hey, save as many of the photos afterwards so we could put at least one from everyone that did the photo booth into our own wedding photo album, which is.
And you feel like that was successful?
Oh,
it was amazing. Yeah. I don't know. We have hundreds.
I'm so happy that we did that. I'm so happy that we did that.
Yeah. No, that was awesome. But that was an investment. And that was something that we had to think ahead of, you know, pre-wedding. So we definitely budgeted as much as we could out of our own paychecks. We tried our best not to put anything on credit cards or pull a loan out, you know, until we absolutely had to. And I'll be honest, we did pull out a loan, a small loan, to cover the rest of the wedding, which was only a month before the wedding. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have much to cover, which means the loan was small and our debt is very small. Mm-hmm. We wanted to cover everything as much as we could out of pocket. Yeah.
I think that after, like, this happens to couples so much, right? You're planning this wedding. It's the biggest thing going on for, like, sometimes a year or more at a time. And then once it happens and you kind of, a few days go by, and I've heard this, there's like wedding withdrawals, but some people find it like, oh my God, I cannot wait for this to be over. And some mm-hmm. people are like, what do we do now?
Yeah. What's life without wedding planning?
Yeah. Like, how did you feel after the dust settled?
I still feel like we're still planning, like, because we're having to deal with so many of the logistics. And so I am one of those people that's like, I am so ready for this to be done. I wanted to enjoy my special day, but I was ready to live. Don't slap me. It was a lot. It was a lot to plan. I am thankful that we got through it. I'm thankful we had Christy. I'm thankful we had our family and friends. I'm thankful for all of that. I am also thankful that we can now breathe as a married couple and now transition into dealing with post-wedding planning, which we're still dealing with. And so
the dust hasn't totally settled yet. You're still dealing with all that. And how long have you been married now?
It's been 3 months, right?
Yeah, I mean, me, same, but at the same time, yeah, I do have a little bit of a wedding withdrawal because mm-hmm. We see things. We were actually just talking about this today.
Yeah.
We're like, you know, we have a really good friend that's getting married in the fall. And it's like, we'll see people post things on weddings and we're like, oh, I'm like, not that I'm like jealous, but it's almost like, why didn't we think of that? Or I wish we could go back to that day and spend a little bit more time doing things or getting pictures. We didn't even get a picture with Christy, or we didn't get a picture with our DJ, which we loved all of you. We loved so there was we're being pulled in so many things. So I would say take a little bit of time, like maybe in pinpoint, be like, we have to do this.
Yeah.
And I don't think we did that. We were just at that point, we were just like balls to the wall. Let's just, you know, no pun intended. Let's just like, you know, have this, you know, we were living in the moment and we were living in the moment, but I guess my withdrawal is like, yeah, my, like,
yeah, it
I wish it could have been longer, I guess.
It went fast. Yeah. But back to Chrissy's point at the very beginning of the show, you know, she was talking about how when we started getting emotional, and then that's when you feel like the day just kind of goes. And that's how I felt for sure. And so I guess in that instance, yes, I do have a little bit of withdrawal because I want to go back and still shot every single moment that I had.
Savor it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it was just, listen, I am very happy with the outcome of
best
everything.
Day ever. It was best day of my life. Ever.
Yeah, for sure.
it was.
So far.
Honeymoon is next. We haven't even planned that yet.
No, we're still planning.
Yeah, we're still planning. Still planning. And so, yeah. The dust for us really hasn't settled too much yet. Yeah.
No mesothelioma.
Yeah.
Wow, why did I say that?
I'm so sorry.
I said that.
I don't know.
That's okay. You guys, this is lovely. We're so happy that you came on the show. And I have to tell you, when I met you in Boston, Roger, you have this way about you that when you come up to, like, I'd never met you before in my life. I've seen comments on things on Instagram, but you came up to me and were like as if I had known you for 10 years. I was like, wait, who? Oh my God. And you were just like, I'm like, I know you. I must know this person. And you were just lovely. And you were like introducing yourself to me, introducing everybody to me. And I was like, who is this lovely man? Are you my family? You're both just wonderful, lovely people. And Christy would brief me throughout the planning process and how much fun she was having with you. And I was kind of jolly, like I wanted to be at the wedding. But it was just awesome that I got to see it through our Instagram story and hear it and now debrief with the two of you. Thank you so much for coming on. And congratulations to you both.
Thank you so much. Thank you. We love listening to you guys. And anytime you're back in Boston, please.
Oh my God.
Like, you guys have a place to stay here.
And
Cambridge.
Marie.
Marie is here.
I cannot wait to meet Marie. And Christy, you're going to have to come again because you were so friggin' sick in Boston. We couldn't even really take advantage of it. I gave her Boston in like 3 hours, including Club Cafe.
Oh shit. No, you got to have a redo. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to do a redo. So we will do that. That'll be a future episode, perhaps.
Yeah.
But thank you both so much. And Marie, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, y'all. Please subscribe on iTunes. Rate and review. It matters so much. You can find all of our episodes on iTunes, anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can ask Alexa for them. And they're all on our website, thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. The best way to reach us is email, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, Twitter and Facebook, TBWP Podcast. We have a Facebook community group for the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. On Instagram, it's @thebigweddingplanningpodcast, and we hashtag plan that wedding. We would love to see your photos and share them and communicate with you on Instagram. Also, we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast, and $5 a month from listeners goes a super duper long way for us, and we appreciate every dollar. We also offer one-on-one consulting with either of us or both of us, and you can ask questions about that and schedule that through email. So again, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to ask us a question that we will play on a You Ask, We Answer episode, you can call us at
415-723-1625. I'm good at that. I'm good at that part.
I know. I pitch it to you like you better be paying attention because it's coming.
Like, oh, okay. Here we go. Okay. Happy planning, everybody. Thank you so much, Roger and Andrew. Christy, I love you and I love your show.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.